And let me just say happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful ladies out there. Some of you might have got puked on your way here or peed on. And whatever your morning looked like, happy Mother's Day to you and welcome this morning to Elevation. If this is your first time, don't get worried. I don't do this every week. My husband's usually the one up here. But for some reason on Mother's Day, he thinks it's a good idea to let a woman share his stage. So anyway, I'm up here this morning and I feel honored and privileged to speak to you today. And I'm just excited about this series. I think we're going to have some fun with it. Because how many know that anytime you put a hashtag in front of something, it's got to be fun, especially on social media. And, you know, I was thinking the other day about the hashtag thing. You know, this morning, if we could put a hashtag in front of our situation today, what would that hashtag read? And maybe it would be you're happy or sad. You know, I don't know where you're at this morning. But I thought since we're showing funny pictures, I would show one. It would kind of fit in with this series. Yeah, this is us trying to get Sophia to look at the camera and smile. We're still trying. Now we're trying really hard to get Sophia to smile. There we got her. And usually what you don't see, because how many know you usually don't see a, you know, social media paints a whole different picture. I seen the other day, actually on social media, someone posted, the grass is always greener on social media. Yeah, it always looks greener because we don't show all the stuff. And so some of the pictures you see on my Instagram or Facebook page, a lot of times Sophia will be smiling, but it's because my husband is in the background and he's doing all these things. And he's, and I know some of you heard about him tell about the day we was in Barnes and Nobles and we're trying to get Sophia to smile. I mean, you take pictures of your grandkids everywhere, even when you're in Barnes and Nobles, and he's, we're trying to get her to smile, and he's running around trying to do all these funny faces, and he runs around and he smacks right dab, he smacks right into the big post, the big poles there in Barnes and Nobles that helps, you know, hold the roof up. So, yeah. So, you know, we don't get those moments on social media or the time, you know, when you're downtown and you're having that nice bike ride with your husband and the sky's so pretty and you're just riding your bike and then all at once, you go across the street and you wreck into this big thing that came out of nowhere. Yeah, that happened. And so you don't get those things on social media. And I told my husband, don't ever tell anybody about that. And then here I'm up here telling you. So I'm just, you know, trying to share my heart with you this morning and let you know that things happen. Life happens. And so this morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit of dysfunctional, going from dysfunctional to functional. And as soon as you hear that word dysfunctional, some of you are thinking of people or you're thinking, yeah, I know who that, I know somebody that's dysfunctional. I know a dysfunctional family. Maybe it's you. I don't know. But, you know, and I've used that word pretty loosely sometime and even said, you know, all families are dysfunctional because it started with Cain and Abel. I mean, look, a brother, you know, killed his other brother over a sacrifice. So, but here, the last few weeks, God has kind of pulled me around to a different perspective on dysfunctional because the truth is that when something's dysfunctional, it is not doing what it was created to do. And so things can be out of whack and not be perfect. Sometimes we think that normal and not being normal, we relate that to being functional or dysfunctional. But there's a lot of things that might not be perfect. Have you ever been to that person? Maybe it's your grandpa, maybe it's your uncle, maybe it's your aunt. You've been to their home, and maybe it's you. And they've got this lawnmower, and they've got all kinds of things holding it together. And I mean, it looks like it's 100 years old, and you're asking them, why you still got that for? Because it still works. It's still mowing the grass. And even this morning, I've got this pretty necklace on, you know, and I'll wear it, and people say, oh, that is so pretty. And I'll say, yeah, it is, isn't it? And you're thinking, wow, she's really vain. But how many know we don't go to our closet and think, oh, that thing's ugly. I think I'll wear it today. We wear it because we think it's pretty. Now, maybe someone else don't, but you do. But anyway, so I've got this, well, I think it's a pretty necklace and been told it's a pretty necklace. But actually, I found this in my daughter's trash one day. Yeah, because it was broken. It was broken. And I thought, you know, that's just too pretty. I think I can make that work. So I did that. And you know what? It's a necklace, right? It's serving. Yeah, yeah. It's serving its purpose. It might be broken. Things might have happened and even ended up in the trash. But it's still serving its purpose. It's functional. So I'm so glad this morning that it doesn't really matter our situation, where we've been, where we are right now, that God just wants us to, he's created us to serve a purpose. And so Romans talks about that all things work for the glory of God who are called according to their purpose. So all things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The thing is that if you're dysfunctional this morning, or you know someone that's dysfunctional this morning, that you don't stay that way. That you don't remain there. Or if you're feeling pretty functional today and you feel like you've got it all in control, it's always good to make sure that you don't become that dysfunctional person, or that you don't have that dysfunctional family. So no matter where you're at today, if you're a parent, if you're single, I hope that I can speak something into your life today, because I just want to, you've not showed that perfect picture of us, right? Go ahead and put that perfect picture of us up there. Yeah. So of my family. This is my little family. It's my husband, Pastor Tony, and our daughter, Samantha, and my son-in-law, Matt. And then the best thing that ever happened to us this side of being a parent is being a grandparent is little Sophia. And her red hair tells it all. And so anyway, you know, we look like the perfect family up there, and we look like everything's just always been perfect in all of our lives. And because, I mean, after all, he's the pastor, I'm his wife, so, I mean, how could we not be that perfect family, you know? But it's so far from the truth, because we're not perfect, and we're really not even what you would call looking behind the scenes at our lives. We're not even your normal, what would be normal. And let me just start telling you a little bit about, because many of you don't know much about me, just so I can help you understand where I've actually came from, and so that you'll know it's okay. It's okay not to be come from normal situations. But I actually was born in an era of Leave It to Beaver era. Does anybody know, ever watch that show? I mean, it's really old, so there's probably, yeah, not very many people in here. Come on now, you've not even seen reruns. How many seen Leave It to Beaver. I've got to be okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. I was thinking, I know I'm getting older, and many times I'm the oldest one in the group, but surely I'm not that old this morning. But anyway, Leave It to Beaver, it's that perfect family situation where the mother wakes up dressed to a T, it seems, and their house is this little house, and everything's perfect, and it's got the little picket fence in front of it, and the dad, he goes off to work in a suit, and the most tragic thing that might happen one day is the boys are outside playing, and they break a neighbor's window. Yeah, with a baseball and a bat, but they're actually playing ball. Can you imagine that? A window gets broken with a baseball and a bat, and they're actually playing ball. And that's, the whole show revolves around that. I mean, it's, you know, just such a, it's a major thing. And that's, so, you know, just that kind of situation where it's just, you're perfect, you know, the mom and dad and everything. But I was born into a situation that my dad was, he was nowhere in the picture, really. I've seen him a few times in my life, and it's been many years since I've seen him. But even as a child, I can't really remember maybe more than one or two hands that he was in my life. And me and my mother, we lived with my grandparents. My mom, she was there till I was about 10 years old, and then she moved on, got married and moved out, and I remained with my grandparents. And so my life just wasn't like the norm. And I would go to school, and like I said again, it's a whole different era. And everybody, you know, everybody was married. There was a mom and a dad and everyone's picture. And when I'd go to school, at school functions, the mom and dad would always show up. And a lot of times people, the other kids would be like, where's your dad? What, you know? And so rather than trying to explain the situation, sometimes it was just easier for me. And I did it once. I said, my dad, he died. Yeah, because, you know, it was just, it seemed like that would be more normal than to tell them what was really going on. And so so I had to overcome some obstacles. And then there was going to church. And you would think, because my grandparents took me to church, and you would think that the situation would have been a little bit more easier, but it really kind of got harder because everybody there, you know, they had the perfect situation. So it seemed. And all my little friends I sit with, they all had their moms and dads and everything. And then to top it all off, people knew me at church. They just assumed that I had my grandparents' name, my last name. And then, of course, at school, I had another last name. And so I had two identities. I mean, I was just like, ooh, nothing's normal about my life. And so one day, though, and this is the first point I want to talk about, no matter what your situation is, if you're dysfunctional or if your life doesn't seem normal or just seems out of sorts, but there was one day in my life that I had to acknowledge and embrace my situation. And it didn't mean that I liked it or I wanted to stay there, but it just means that I had to accept it. This, my family situation, it's not normal. And that day that I acknowledged that, it brought me so much freedom, because then when people would ask me about my mom or my dad, I would just tell them my situation, and I became all right with it. This is all right. It's all right that things aren't normal. And it doesn't mean that I was even dysfunctional at that point. Now, sometimes in my life, I did feel a little bit dysfunctional, but that's not what made me dysfunctional during any of those times in my life that I felt that way. Because what I realized one day is that God takes what's not normal and He helps bring you to your purpose. So He took a situation that didn't look normal to other people, but He helped use it to bring me to my purpose. And just think, I mean, after all, look at Jesus' life. Yeah, it wasn't normal. He was born to a virgin. The angel had to go tell Jesus's mother or Jesus's earthly father, that it was okay for him to marry Jesus's mother. And I mean, it wasn't normal. Jesus was born to a virgin. It wasn't normal. And then I was thinking about this the other day and I just had to laugh. Can you imagine if social media would have been in that day? Wow. Because then there was that day that his parents, they were at the temple and they left with their caravan and they left Jesus at the temple. Yeah, they left him. Can you imagine that as Mary's Facebook status? Oh, I think I've left my son at the temple. We cannot find him. And I don't know how long he was, how long it took them to realize that they had left him there. But it says it was 3 days till they got back to him. So, and then can you imagine people's comments? Oh, you're a horrible mother. Oh, I cannot believe you did that. Called child services. I mean, it had just been a mess back then if social media would have been around. So they weren't the perfect family. They messed up too. And because things happen. But I'm glad that that God used a not normal situation to bring our Savior into the world this morning. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be a good time to clap right there. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Yeah. Yeah. So then there came a time in my life, and there'll come a time in your life if you've not already been there. And even if you have, there's probably going to come another time in your life. Because how many know our life is full of making decisions? Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have to make some decisions all through our life. So the other decision that is going to be important to make so you can become functional from dysfunctional, so you can serve your purpose, is that you will need to accept that you are the solution. You are the solution to fix whatever the problem is, whatever is dysfunctional. And maybe you say, but you don't understand. My situation was a lot worse than yours. And maybe you were born into a very dysfunctional family. And I'm sorry for that this morning. I really am. But the truth is, it's really up to you to take responsibility from here on out. We cannot blame past, present situations, what people have done, what situation we were born in, what landed in our lap that we didn't want. We can no longer use that for an excuse. Because see, what the decisions that we make as parents or as just people that have influence in other people's lives, what we don't realize is that we are impacting the next generation. It's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to you what happens with your children, with your grandchildren. You say, well, I can't be, I'm not responsible for my grandchildren. Well, yeah, we kind of are, because if I would have made bad choices earlier, then my life wouldn't look the same as it does this morning. And Sophia, my granddaughter, her life wouldn't look the same. Yeah, Sam and Matt, they have a responsibility, but the choices that I make. And so at some point you have to take responsibility. Romans 14:12 says, we shall give account of ourselves to God. Yeah. No one else is going to give account except us. We will stand before God for what we do, but it holds true all through our life. We are the ones that will make a difference. So we have to get some things right in our life. I heard a good example the other day. If you've ever flown, and I'm sure most of you have on the airplane, the first little thing that they talk, you know, they give you that little little speech at the beginning, and they say, if something should happen, and you're always thinking, oh boy, okay. So an oxygen mask is going to fall down, and you need to put it on who first? Yourself, yeah. Because see, it won't do any good if you're trying to put it on the other person and you're falling over dead. You've got to get yourself, you've got to get that oxygen mask on yourself first. And that's why it's so important that we, this morning, in the second step, that we determine that we are the solution and that we need to fix whatever's wrong, and we need to be better than what we are if there's nothing wrong, and that we need to depend on Jesus to do it, because His power can make a difference in future generations. Amen. So next thing that you've got to, and my last point that we're going to talk about this morning, is that you have to recognize that God is first, and you've got to make Him first in every area of your life. You have to make Him a priority in every area of your life. And I thought my husband, when he was doing the child dedications, he kind of talked about some things that I'm going to talk about in this last point. And he did read a few of the scriptures, but I'm going to have us this morning, I'm going to have him put Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 back up there. And even though he referred to it earlier, I want us all to look at that, because I know he was mostly, you know, he was talking to these parents up here, but I want us all this morning to apply it to our lives, and I'm going to ask you to read it with me, because how many of us know none of us can afford to leave God out of our day for one moment? We just can't. We can't afford to. So here, Moses is giving instruction to the parents. It's who he's given instruction to. So let's, if you will, just read this with me. Let's all read it together. Ready? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I'm going to tell you this morning that there's nothing better than you can do than instill the Word of God in your children. But getting back to the oxygen mask, how many know that we've got to have it in us first? So we've got to study it, we've got to love it, we've got to speak it, and then we got to live it out. We got to live it out in front of them, because how many know you can't just talk about it? You got to live it in front of them. And I like what he said here, because he said, you know, basically, I'm going to paraphrase. So basically, talk to your kids about scripture when you're taking them to school. Talk to them about the goodness of God when you're on your way to the ball games. When they're having problems with a friend, you know, talk to them about how the Word of God how it says to seek peace and get along with others. Talk to them about honor when they get aggravated with one of their teachers, or this is a really hard one, when you're at a ball game and everybody's, you know, mad at the coach. And teach them about honor, how that, you know, we don't do that. We honor one another, because it's in the Word of God to honor, to show honor. There's all kinds of ways that we can get the Word of God into our children, into those around us that we have influence on. So you can never go wrong with building your family on the Word of God. But more importantly, let me just say that every answer that you need, it's right here. You know, if someone came to you and said, I know a place you can go that no matter what your problem is, what your situation is, what season of life it is you're in, I know a place where you can get every answer for every problem. And we would be like, oh, that is so awesome. Tell me where it is. And many times we overlook that it's right here. We have it at our disposal. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, then I have asked them to put some out there at the VIP desk. And we want to put one in your hands this morning. That's how important it is for the Word of God, for you to have the Word of God and to read it and to study it and to know it. And if you're a parent this morning, let me just say this to you very respectfully, that we are not your pastors, your kids' pastors. No, we want to be one of their pastors, but you are your kids' pastors. You are the pastors of your home. Yeah, see, we're just here to help you, to push along the way, to reinforce what hopefully you're already telling them. You know, when me and my husband, we used to be youth pastors, and boy, that was a real experience, because on top of that, we had a youth choir, and we had guidelines. Yeah, I know, right? Guidelines for the youth. And so, you know, it was stuff that we expected of them if they were going to be on the platform, singing and showing Christ, that we wanted them to look like and act like and live outside the doors like they were showing Christ. But it became a little bit crazy, because then sometimes when they didn't do something at home, like make a good grade or something, the parents would come to my husband and they're saying, can you put little Johnny out of the youth choir for a while? Because he's not. And I'm thinking, really, because you are over your home. It became that they wanted us to control, help them fix their home by not letting their child sing in the youth choir. And it just became really whacked, because no, that's your home. You should be the one that's having the influence. You should be the one that are calling the shots, that you have control of your home and your situation. So I encourage you this morning to get into God's Word. Apply it to your life. Apply it to your children in their everyday life. Let it become every part of every second of your day. And you can never go wrong with that. The other thing I liked, and we won't, I won't have them put the scripture up, but it'd be a good thing for you to read on about that Moses talks about, that God told Moses to keep the things ever before you that I've done for you. Because see, Moses, he had brought the children of Israel across the Red Sea. If you remember that story, the Red Sea, and they needed, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and they wanted to go to the promised land. And Moses stretched his rod out, and the waters parted, because God told him what to do. And he did it, and the waters parted, and they marched across to dry ground, and they marched across to the promised land, where everything tasted better, everything looked better. They weren't in bondage anymore, and they were able to experience freedom. And so God tells Moses in this same passage, he said, and don't forget to keep those things that I did for you ever before you, so that you can tell your children and you can tell others, and it will be a remembrance. And then later we read about Joshua, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant, and they needed the waters parted again, and guess what? God parted them again, and they marched across, and they experienced freedom, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant. And this time God told Joshua, he said, I want you to gather 12 stones, have the 12 tribe leaders gather 12 stones and build a memorial, so that you'll never forget what I did this day. How many times do we forget sometimes of what God's done for us. See, it's so important that you write it down. I don't care if that he gave you a new car. I don't care what how little it seems and insignificant or how big it is. Begin to write it down. It was on this day that God did this for us. Because after a while, you know, and it says, write it on your doorpost. Write it here, write it there. And you know, when my daughter lived at home, she would write scripture. She would have scripture all over a mirror. And then sometimes she would have things that she wanted God to move. And she'd have goals. And then she'd have things that she needed God to move in. And then when that would happen, you know, she'd put a check by it. And sometimes we just need to make it visible. We need to write it down on our doorpost what God has done for us. So wouldn't it be neat that our whole house was so covered that then when situations and problems would come up, that all we see was, we wouldn't see the problem. All we'd see was, well, that's what God did there. Here, that's when he did this. That's when he did that. All we would see is all the things that God had done for us. In the worship band, you can go ahead and come, because I tell you, at the end of the day, you know, and I've been guilty of it. There was a few weeks ago, I was thinking, you know, people get hung up. We get hung up on crazy stuff, really, we do. But I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll think of a hymn sometime, and I'll think, oh, I just wonder if Sophia will ever, if she'll ever know that hymn. Well, first of all, if I want her to know it, she will. So it doesn't matter if we're singing it up here or not. But God kind of rebuked me, and he said, you know what? It's not as important that Sophia know that hymn. What's more important is that you're sharing what I've done, what I can do, that you're imparting what I've done for you. And because, see, as I said before, our situation, it's not your normal situation, because for me, I was told I couldn't have a child. I was never able to get pregnant. But you know what? God took a not normal situation and he made it okay, because he brought Sam into our life. And before that, the adoption was even final, there was times that she would be taken from us. But God had promised me one day when I was down cleaning, he said, I'm going to let you can have Sam. And even though that things happened sometime and it didn't look like that was going to take place, God still came through. And so he took what wasn't a normal situation and he made it normal, and he made it functional enough that I could fulfill my purpose, that Sam could fulfill her purpose. And now I have a beautiful granddaughter. And it's a great thing when God takes things that look dysfunctional and look broken and they don't look normal, but he makes it all right. And he makes it where we're able to do what he's called us to do. And someday I'll get to tell Sophia, you know, Sophia, I wasn't able to have children, but God gave me your mom. And because that happened, yeah, and because that I determined as a teenager that I wasn't going to stay dysfunctional. Because if I'd have stayed dysfunctional, it's hard to say what this morning would even look like. Yeah. If you are dysfunctional this morning, I challenge you to take inventory. Because whether you know it or not, every one of you sitting here will have an impact on the future generation. You'll either have a positive or a not so positive. You'll either be the solution or you'll be the problem. And God didn't create any of us to be the problem. No. I don't care where you're at, where you've been. You can start making right decisions today. And you say, but what if I
what if I make the right decision today and then I mess up tomorrow? Well, here's something positive. My husband always says, I'm positive you will. There'll be days that you won't always make right decisions because we all mess up. But God's already took care of that because he said his mercies are new every morning. Thank God for his mercy this morning. Stand with me. Stand with me.